Joey Page on FUBAR Radio.
We've got something.
Ooh.
Good afternoon, people with ears.
Now, a new sound. Very melodic.
A nice slice of psych.
A good, solid sound.
This is a music show, is it?
Yeah.
The music.
I'm not good at to be cruel.
The instruments.
Just like a giant Twix.
The voices.
Guess what my name is? It's Joey Page.
And it's ready to go.
Wow, you know...
Now, play it.
Yes, welcome everyone to the Joey Page Show. It's always a good time when I look through the glass to see assistant producer Will's little head bobbing up and down to the bit of music I've got playing underneath me talking. Welcome along to the show, which, I'm going to be honest, needed this bit of music to start the show off today because I've got a theory. I don't think human beings are supposed to be awake at the moment. I don't think it's a word, but I'm going to go for it. I'm so hibernetic. I feel like I should be hibernating. So, like, sleepy and slow at the moment. So, we'll have this little bit of Caramel. That's what the track's called, by Cluster. If you want to look it up, from 1974, in the background. Just give us a little pep in our step as we come into the show today. Let me tell you what's happening on today's show, then. Today, I have Icy Rivers coming into the studio. That's not like a Simpsons-esque where they ring up Moe's Bar. It's not like a fake band, is it? Icy Rivers. No, they're real. Icy Rivers, they're coming in. But it's I, like I'm looking at the rivers, not like they're cold. Icy Rivers. That's going to annoy everyone all show now, isn't it? Icy Rivers are coming into the studio, and I'm going to be grilling them on how hard it is for them to make their beautiful harmonies that they make in their music. Because in my head, when you're doing quite minimalistic music and beautiful music like they make, I imagine it can be something that you've really got to get absolutely on, as the kids say, on point. Yeah, because it's minimalist and they're doing harmonies over the top, live, anything can happen. Just like this radio show, anything can happen. So I'm going to be talking to them about the trials and tribulations of the kind of music that they make and playing it live. I've also got Chrysalism coming into the studio, who I will be grilling on, amongst other things, whether they would prefer to be a caterpillar or a butterfly. But also, I know bizarrely quite a lot about Chrysalism, which isn't even a real word I've looked up, but when a caterpillar gets into its chrysalis and turns into a butterfly, I've got fascinating facts, so I'll bring that up and see if I can impress them with that. And joining me in the studio, I've got Creatures, not caterpillars or butterflies, but the band Creatures, coming in to talk to me about, amongst other things, their big EP called Runt of the Glitter. And when I say big EP, it's big in terms of quality, but also, like, I like to think of an EP as like a, like, you know, you go like Sainsbury's or Tesco's and you buy a meal deal, right? I like to think of it like that's the little meal deal. It gives you a flavour of the band, but not too much. It's lunch, right? It's not a full meal. You're not gone out for dinner. Just a little at your desk, a little lunch of the band, right? But they've kind of gone for a Toby Carvery sized EP lunch. It's like an 8-track EP. It might be 7. I'm not counting. I could go back and count. It's a waste of everyone's time, isn't it? 6, 7, or 8-track EP. It's very good. Like I said, it's called Runt of the Glitter. And I'll be talking to them about why they decided they wanted to make such a big EP, etc., etc., and lots of other good things. Plus, I've got some real good new music, as ever, and a very worthy winner of the barometer of what's good or annoying or whatever this week. But also, my God, am I in a bad mood on the barometer today. There could be 6 or 7 things that get relegated from the show today. It could be a record, okay? So, like how when there's a hurricane coming or an earthquake, they'll put out a warning. Be on notice. The barometer is going to be a savage one today. All right? Good. If it's your debut on the show today, if it's your first time listening, hello, welcome. Also, you're late. I've been here about 4 years, but if it's your first time, well, just get in touch and say hello. I'll say hello back. It's the sort of service I can provide for you. And I'm going to be talking about, because you know what I've done this week? I've done two things. Number one, I think I've been a bit at sea lately with the way that I've been dressing, right? So I've been thinking about this, and it's kind of like a continuation from what I've been feeling since the summer, right? And I think I've kind of nailed a look for myself now. See what you think of this, Will, as you're looking on intently through the glass, right? I'm going for, ignore the cardigan thing that I'm wearing, right? But think about the jacket I had on, right? The shirt, the whole facial business I've got going on. I'm thinking 1980s mobile phone salesman, right? I think that's my look. Quite sleazy looking, but a bit cool. That's what I'm going for. So as I've christened my look today, what I am going to be doing is I'm going to be asking the guests that are on the show to give us a sort of title for what they've come dressed as, or what they dress as in everyday life. Maybe I'll get you two through there to do it as well. I've christened my look 1980s mobile phone salesman, and I'd like to see what Abby and Will are throwing down. If you can't have a title for your look, please, I'll read them out in a bit. So that's what's going on the show. Oh, also one quick thing, nothing to do with music, but because I'm an all-around romantic kind of guy, right? I don't think my wife would say any different. So we did the very twee, lovely little thing that you sometimes need to do. We went on a little date in the day on Monday. We went ice skating. Now, Abby's saying, oh my God, right? Two things about this. I might put this in the barometer, actually, but I'm not going to, because there's too much stuff I want to get in there, and it's not music related. Number one, the guy took a really nice photo of us. He wanted 15 quid for it. Do you know what I said to that? Jog on, boy. That's what I said to that. But have a look at me, Abby and Will. Do you think I'm any good at ice skating? Will's put his thumb up. Abby's shaking her head vociferously. Turns out I'm a lovely little skater. I am a lovely little ice skater. So I don't know what it is about me that says, one of them says that I am good just on my look. The other one says I'm not. I might ask the rest of our guests about that as well. That's all happening on the show. Some of the stuff we need to do, some we don't. But we're doing it all. It's the Joey Page Show on Fubar Radio. New music, the hottest live acts around, and a sort of fumbling idiot on the decks. That's me. So welcome, and let's have some music then, shall we? To kick off the show today. We're going to kick off with a band that are playing at the Lexington on December the 17th. And this is from their album, Bamboo Diner in the Rain. I've no idea what that means. And it's an album that is described as a band battling against the robot music apocalypse. They are the Wave Pictures. And this song is called Pool Hall, which is about them trying to shut, not them, but, you know, the man, Buzzer and Jezza, trying to shut down the pool hall. I don't know if they're specifically talking about the people in the race for the election, but, you know, the big wigs trying to shut down a pool hall. And it's really good. To me, it's got a tiny bit of a sort of Specials Ghost Town feel. I feel like it's talking about similar kind of things. So get your ears around it. I really like this, so hopefully you will too. If not, maybe it's time to switch stations. Here we go. This is Pool Hall by The Wave Pictures. Listening to the Joey Page Show on Fubar Radio. The barometer of what's good or annoying or whatever is coming up next.
Line of cars pulls up before the hotel. Your hands grip tight around the white slab of a telephone saying, we will pay as a Western place. Seen you look better.
A whisper on high, burst out of your polka dot shirt like the Hulk and burn your tie. Your guitar smashed to ribbons on the dressing room floor. I think I've heard this little tale before. Did you know they're closing down the pool hall? Did you know they're turning it into flats?
There we go. That is The Wave Pictures and Paul Hall from their 2018 album. What was that called? I just had that right in front of me. It doesn't matter, does it? If you like them, you can go and listen to it. Why can't I work out what that's from? Doesn't matter. It's gone. The moment's gone. Oh, no, from Bamboo Diner in the Rain. Yes, there we go. I knew I had that written down in front of me. And they are playing in London on the 17th of December. Other cities, of course, are available and they might be playing there, but I've got no info which suggests they're not. I'm not being London-centric, don't worry. I'd hate you to think that I don't care about all the other charming cities of the UK, including places like Blackpool or Grimsby. So, shortly, I will be getting IC Rivers into the studio for a chat. But first, it's time for me to let off some steam in the only way I know how. It's cheaper than a therapist. It's better than having a go at the loved ones that are closest to me. It's time for the barometer of what's good or annoying or whatever. Okay, I think I've got it down to 1, 2, 3, 4 people getting relegated from the show possibly today. Will I save any of them? Will they all go? Let's see what kind of a mood I'm in. If you've not listened to this feature before, basically, it's a feature where I go through some of the best and worst things from the news, put them in an order, like on a barometer. I don't think anybody really knows what a barometer does. It's testing the water, yeah? A barometer is just... it's gauging the landscape of a certain thing. And we've got some good bits, some annoying bits, some whatever bits. We're going to start in the whatever section, okay? As we like to, often, in the middle. So, the... I don't know who measures this. I did read it, but if you told me again, I don't think it's important. But the live music scene has been valued at £1.1 billion. I'm not sure who by. I'm not sure if they took it on Dickinson's Real Deal and it got valued at £1 billion and then they took it to, as he would call it, auction. And then they got another £0.1. What does this mean exactly, though? Because... there are literally hundreds of thousands of musicians, most of which, let's be honest, probably come on the show. I've got part-time jobs, day jobs, living below the breadline for their art, whilst people like Coldplay, Ed Sheeran, etc. are trousering all the good readies, as Danny Dyer would call them, at the top of the food chain. And sure, right, that's how most industries work, right? The most popular things, we can't help it if most people are idiots, and the most popular things are not the best things. That's how it works, some would say. But when a lot of independent venues are closing down, it feels a bit like there's something wrong with the music industry. If there's that much money floating about and not enough of us can get it, maybe there should be like bursaries, or maybe there should be an extra music tax that goes down to grassroots music. Maybe people should sell out more. I don't know the answer. That's why it's in the maybe section. But interesting news that the live music scene has been valued at £1.1 billion. And yet so many people struggling to earn an honest crust when they are really good at what they do. Something to think about, isn't it? Got the wheels of your brain turning? Good. Fine. Now let's move on. And this is kind of... oh, yeah. This is kind of... link to it, actually, but this is also linked to the bottom, so it's going to be difficult to do. Ian Brown has announced his first live show as a solo artist since re-splitting up with the Stone Roses. He's going to be headlining Neighbourhood Festival in somewhere like May, right? Good stuff. But how, and this is the problem with the music industry, how can a band like the Big Moon be on the bill lower than an absolute obsolete thing like... the Reverend and the Makers? How can the Reverend and the Makers be higher up the bill than the Big Moon? There's the problem with the music industry, everybody. It's you lot. Not you lot. You're listening to the show. It's your mates that don't listen to this show that like pop and popular crap, basically. That's what's wrong with the music industry. Anyway, also, it's been announced that Tame Impala are the first headliners to the fantastic, one of my new favourites. Well, not mine. It's not new festival. One of my new favourites. All Points East. 2020. Tame Impala. Headliners. That's big! Never done that before. Might do that again at some point. also, a special mention on the barometer this week to Terry O'Neill, a legendary photographer of the music industry. Sadly passed away. David Bowie cited him as a muse. Got some really incredible, iconic shots of Bowie, of the Stones. Anyone who's anyone that you can think of, he had a good few sessions with and took great shots of them. And they are now like things that are immersed in pop culture on a day-to-day basis. If you're not aware of Terry O'Neill, go and check him out. His work was incredible and very, very vital to the music industry. Now, let's move on to some of the things that are in contention for being relegated from the show this week. Now, Anna Calvi has been announced as the ambassador for Independent Venue Week, right? Which is to promote all these venues that are struggling, even though there's 1.1 billion floating around in live music. Now, I haven't got a problem with this. Anna Calvi's cool. I just hope that she's not getting paid to be an ambassador, because otherwise, that feels like a waste, because what is an ambassador going to do? Yes, maybe it's going to bring more people to the idea of Independent Venue Week. But I just hope no one's getting paid to be an ambassador, which will essentially not really do anything other than put their name to something. Now, here's the things that are getting relegated from the show for sure, okay? It's a list that's very easy to come by. And again, some more things that are wrong with the music industry. Robbie Williams has brought out a Christmas album. Bring him one out. I don't know. He's done a song with Tyson Fury. Do I have to say anything else? Relegated from the show. The song's called Bad Sharon. Maybe we'll play it on the Christmas special. Maybe we won't. Also, the Libertines have launched their own gin. Could they become any more of a parody of themselves? That's all I want to say at this point. Oh, yeah, we're gonna do a gin. Yeah, nice one, Pete. Thank you very much for that. Relegated from the show. The Libertines have become everything that is wrong with independent music, indie music. It's given it a bad name, and it's given it a bad... They're a bad poster boy. Yeah, it makes our kind of music that we like outdated. Similarly, the Camden Walk of Fame. It's basically like, you know, when the stars in Hollywood on the sidewalk. It's like that, but for music. And so, the thing that I'm relegating as the biggest sort of... What's the word I'm looking for? The biggest culprit and the thing that needs to be relegated from the show the most this week is... Camden itself, right? I feel like, other than maybe one or two venues, anybody that looks like a musician, they normally aren't a very good musician. Do you know what I mean? If they look like, you know what I mean? If they've got the hat and the long hair, or, you know, they've got like, yeah, they've got a moustache. Yes, thank you, Will. But don't forget, I'm a comedian, so I'm exonerated from all of this, right? But if you look like a musician, you're not normally a great musician. If you look like you're in Guns N' Roses, you've sadly missed the boat by about 30 years, right? And I feel like that's what Camden's full of. So to have a walk of fame where these people can go and reminisce over the good times of when the Who were the Who and, you know, the Clash and all this stuff, you know, good for you, but you're not really relevant to music going forward. So please... Go to your little Camden theme park and stay there. All right? Relegated from the show. Now, someone who's the antithesis of this, right? Groundbreaking, effervescent, exciting, new music, a band, breaking boundaries. They're the top of the barometer. Because this is the kind of thing we're trying to promote on the show, right? A band I really want to get on the show, and I know we are trying. They are called Squid. Okay? Squid are a very experimental... different band. I've played them on the show a few times. They formed in Brighton. They're made up of Ollie, Lewis, Arthur, Laurie, and Anton. And they have been described in a brilliant thing on their Facebook page that somebody else has written, like a fan has written. Outside of a dog, this band is a person's best friend. Inside of a dog is too small for a whole five-piece band to fit. I think that sums them up brilliantly. They seem like fun lads as well. They've got an EP out, the physical copy of which came out last Friday, which is why I wanted to put them on the top of the barometer. That's called Town Centre. This is called Match Bet, and it's an absolutely sublime piece of music. So, let's all calm down. We've had the barometer now. And let's all pay attention to this piece of music, because this is exactly what this show is about. Hot new bands making interesting new music. The top of the barometer this week is Squid. Here we go. Enjoy Match Bet here on the Joe Page Show on FUBAR Radio.
Well, the feast was...
There we go. The top of the barometer of what's good or annoying or whatever. That is Squid and Match Bet from the EP Town Centre, which is out in physical form now. It's been out digitally for a while. But yeah, if you want to get your hands on it and put it on a record player or something like that, then that came out Friday. So go down to a little record shop and get it. Maybe chat to the people in there, see what else they've got for you. Get something different. That's how we all find out about good new music. And that brings me on to my next guests. I'm very excited to welcome into the studio. I'm looking forward to having a chat with all three of these girls. It's time to welcome IC Rivers into the studio. Hello.
Hello.
All in unison, like hey. I expected, just like your music. Perfect. So let's go through this, first of all. Alina.
Alina.
Hello, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Lil, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And Gore.
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 Almost. I feel like 8 out of 10.
Okay, yeah. I'll take that.
Yeah.
I was expecting to get a 2. So, there we go. So, first of all, how are you guys?
Good.
Very good.
Mm. Nice. And you've been in London for a few days. You live in Wales, which we'll get onto shortly as well. And you're from Norway originally, yeah. But you met over here and you were studying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You've done your research.
I've done some research. And that's it. So the rest that's is it. Over to you. So what were you guys studying at the time when you met?
Music.
Music. Oh,
yeah.
That's handy, isn't it?
Can you believe it?
Well, yeah, but not always. Do you know what I mean? You could have been studying anything and, yeah. and gone, it's not going great, let's form a band.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and was that always... I know you're all obviously going to have individual answers to this, but was it always the plan to study music to perform music, or was you studying it for other reasons, for other kinds of jobs? What was you thinking going into the music world from a studying point of view?
For me, it's always been about performance, I guess. And it's a performing arts school in Liverpool.
Right, okay.
So that's why I went there, at least. I don't know, with you guys.
I was going to go to Rome and study fine arts.
Yeah, very different Rome and Liverpool, aren't they?
Yeah, well...
and has it been a sort of... When you first went there, was it a bit of a culture shock? Because I feel like quite... There's a weird link between Norwegian footballers and Liverpool and sadly departed Hers. One half of those guys that were from... I'm not sure if it was actually Norway. I think he was from Norway, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
Norway.
And he landed in Liverpool. So what do you think draws people from Norway to Liverpool? Well, is it just because the ferry goes there?
Maybe. But I think especially... Well, there is a link, as you say, between Liverpool and Norway.
Mm.
And obviously, yeah, it's a port and all these Norwegian ships used to come in. And
yeah, right.
Skaus.
Right.
It comes from a Norwegian dish.
Does it?
Yeah.
See, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Lapskaus.
Lapskaus.
What's lapskaus?
It's skaus.
Yeah, but what is it? What's the dish?
Okay, so it's...
It's going to be something disgusting, like that horrible fish that you have, right?
Is
a
no.
Strawberry.
Is
that,
is have that, you had a skaus?
I don't know what it is.
It's just the vegetables in like cubes.
Yeah.
And meat... Basically.
Okay.
In like a stew.
Okay. So it's like a stew.
It's quite nice.
Okay, yeah. All right.
If you like meat.
I'll love it.
Nice.
Cool. But I've learned something, so thank you for that. The question I was originally going to ask you, though, was how difficult did you find the accent at first?
That's basically how we met, how we became friends.
Because you couldn't understand
because
anyone else.
Because we couldn't understand anything. Actually, though, our first day at school, we had this introduction for all the international students.
Yeah.
And there was this Scouse man talking, and he was really lovely. And then we all kind of just gathered outside the classroom afterwards.
Mm.
We were just like, what did you get? I got Monday, 8 o'clock. No, but I got 10 o'clock. Where am I supposed to be? I don't know.
And because it's really difficult for me to understand Scousers. So to come and be doing it in second language is incredible that you've managed to even make it all the way through higher education in a foreign language in one of the most difficult dialects in the country. So tell us about the band itself. Like, tell me about how... Because you've got a very unique sound. I've written down on my notes here, which I've not even looked at yet. I just memorised everything so far. That... It's kind of like a very heavenly sound, if heaven's even a place, because we don't know if that actually exists. But it strikes me that even though to the ear it's like quite minimalist and then you're all doing harmonies and stuff like that, but I feel like, is that very difficult to perform live? Like, because you all must have to be very like precise with your work.
Well, it is just the three of us. Mm. And when we started, we did mostly the guitar and then we did loads of work on the harmonies, mm-hmm. to be able to sing the song together. But now, new stuff coming up, it's even more arrangements and a bit more electronic sounds in there.
Right, yeah. So I read this about that, yeah. There's going to be a bit of an electronic flavour to your album.
Yes.
Yeah, so. And I think the biggest difference from these new songs and the old ones is that the old ones were recorded with when we were thinking about, okay, what can we actually play live? And then we recorded
how
the songs.
How many hands do we have?
Yeah. But now we've recorded whatever we want to, and then we have to
work it out backwards.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I know that you guys are, or have done, I assume it's done, funded the album yourselves using some PRS business and also like a Kickstarter campaign. So tell us about the realities of that.
Well, we are an independent band, mm-hmm. which is great. Doing it ourselves and being in control and
do what we want
and everything like that. Mm-hmm. But the major downside to that is that we don't have a label backing us up financially.
Yeah, right.
So it is difficult being independent in that way. Mm. I feel like without the support from PRS Foundation and Kickstarter,
yeah.
it wouldn't be an album because we physically don't have the money.
Yeah, right. Like a lot of people,
exactly.
I was just talking about this on the show before,
yeah.
about how there's so much money in the live, apparently in the live music scene, but I don't know where it is. It's not going to anybody good.
Yeah, I don't know where that is. Where is it?
I think Coldplay have got it all.
Oh,
or Ed Sheeran and the like. But,
Ed Sheeran.
Yeah. So tell us some of the things that, like the Kickstarter campaign especially, so what was you offering?
Loads of things. We knit our own hats.
Great.
So they could buy like an Icy Rivers hat.
Nice.
People could buy a personalized outgoing voice message.
So if someone leaves you a voicemail, it's the answer machine.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, it was like, so-and-so can't take to your phone right now. And then
in
we
harmony.
Did like...
That's fun.
Leave a message in harmonies.
Yeah. Nice.
Really cool. What else?
Personal piece of music.
Yeah. And we also have some tote bags that we sell as merch.
Classic tote bags, yeah.
Yeah, but we also embroidered on them.
Yeah, okay.
So, like hand-embroidered.
And was there a point when you were knitting the hats or embroidering the thing where you were like... Why did we pick this?
Yeah.
And we're still doing it. There's loads of work.
You'll be doing it until 2024.
Yeah. We will kind of promise.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll put my name down, but maybe it sounds like it's too stressful. Sorry.
No, you're okay.
And so what can you tell us about the album? I know you said there's a sort of electronic flavour to it, but what else can you tell us about the album?
We just wrote the list today of songs that's going to be on
track
the
list.
Album.
Track yeah. yeah. And how hard was it to pick the order?
I mean, it's taken us the better part of a week just going through, because we had so much material. Mm-hmm. So we've been writing for a year, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have so much material, and there's been a lot of contenders.
Mm-hmm.
And but now thinking about it in a setting, about what kind of vibe
you want the album to
be like a journey.
But is it like a sonic journey or is it like a thematic journey? So
both.
All yeah. right, great.
All of it.
Yeah, all of it. We're very well thought through.
Well thought through. Apart from all the sewing.
Apart from that.
Any sewing injuries from that? Anyone there?
There was actually because when we were on tour.
Yeah.
I don't have my license, so they usually
drive. So
yeah.
you do all the right.
I do the because we sell them as merch as well.
Yeah. Once. Right.
And there was one point, we were in Germany, I think, and I was knitting in the back of the car. And at the end of, like, that week, I had like, so sore.
Because you kept stabbing yourself.
Yeah. That happens.
That happens.
It's a real thing.
Just play devil's advocate. Who do you think gave you more sore fingers? Whose driving was the worst?
I couldn't possibly
you
tell.
You couldn't possibly tell. You don't want to tell us.
You shouldn't tell us.
I felt so safe.
So being on tour and stuff, obviously, like anybody, I imagine when you're out on tour, you want to have some fun outside of the shows. But do you really have to take care of your voices, being doing harmonies and stuff? Does that impact on the amount of fun you can have?
Well, not really. But also because, again, we're independent.
Yeah.
So we are doing everything ourselves.
Yeah.
Like driving and advancing on the shows.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't really have any free time.
Right, yeah.
It's always finish a gig, drive with our stuff to a safe place, sleep, get up super early, drive to the next place,
right.
Repeat. So we don't really have...
You don't have any time for any fun.
But, yeah. But there's loads of fun in that as well.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like it's almost like musical backpacking around
Europe. Yeah, it is. It really is.
And I do think, I don't know, I think less of my voice. I have more fun than I probably should have.
Right, okay.
When I think of my voice.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about what's drawn you to move to Wales as a group.
Well, we when we were in uni in Liverpool, we were on a tour with Newton Faulkner.
Oh, right, yeah.
And his drummer is called Toby Cooling, and he really wanted us to go to Wales and record our music because he knew of this perfect studio and perfect person to record it with.
Mm.
And so we just said, okay, we'll go there.
We trusted him.
We trust you, Toby. We had just met Toby at that point. But now he's
Very suggestible.
Yeah.
I tell you where you should go. It's really lovely. Dartford. No, it's horrible.
See,
I know, that's what I was going for.
Sidcup. Yeah, we'll go.
I've got a lovely tour for you. Erith, Sidcup, Belvedere, Dartford.
Sure.
That's lovely.
It's not.
When are we going?
After the show, if you want. It's not far.
Great.
Yeah, so you went there because he you just trusted him.
Yeah.
You're a good judge of character.
Yeah.
Because you've ended up staying.
Kind of have, yeah. We just, so when we went there, it was Aline and Gerrit's last year at uni because they were a year above me. So we stuck around in Liverpool for another year, waiting for me to finish. And then we wanted to still be in the UK, but we couldn't afford... anywhere.
Big London.
No.
Big Liverpool.
No, and we had enough with Liverpool for a little while.
Yeah, right.
And we kind of longed for that, the nature and our Norwegian roots were crying out for some nature.
Yeah, sure.
So Wales was kind of the obvious choice.
And tell us about, like, is it very scenic where you live? Are you on the coast or are you by the sea or what? Are you by the hills or where? What have you got? By Tesco's, what's going on?
When we moved to Wales, we moved to Tenby.
Okay.
And it was very random. We didn't really know lots about... We knew lots about Pembrokeshire because we had been there recording. But then that was where we found the flat.
Yeah.
Right.
And we also didn't have a car at that time, so we needed a Tesco.
There we go.
But it's also... It's really beautiful and it's by the coast. But then we kind of moved... a bit out of the city.
Yeah.
City of Tenby.
And do you find it more creative being sort of in a little outpost away from a lot of stuff?
Yes, in the way that it's time in Pembrokeshire moves differently than anywhere else in the world. It just...
This sounds like the opening of a film.
Yeah. This summer, one town, one girl. No, it's just everything moves so slow. Which is nice. It feels like we have more hours in a day.
Yeah, right.
But then on the other side, it moves so slow.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of input.
It sounds like a really good place to write.
Well, it is.
I feel like you might be getting a house guest. I might be like, I've got a writing project.
Yeah.
I need somewhere to
come
go.
Come on over.
I'm on my way. I'll get in the car. I'll bring some yarn for some knitting.
You can come.
It's definitely the most rock and roll chat I've ever had on the show. So let's have a little chat then about the song that we're going to play of yours today. We are going to play Collide.
Yeah.
And is that going to be on the album? Or is that separate to...
No, it's album.
Okay, and so how does that fit into what we're going to get from the album, do you reckon?
I guess that's the first part of the a tiny bit of electronic sound sneaking in to the new stuff. Because when we recorded it, I was scared that it wouldn't fit in.
Right.
But it's going to fit.
But it's, yeah. We'll make made it fit. And just quickly,
yeah,
I See Rivers. Mm-hmm. Did you know that that sounds like a very cold river?
What?
Good.
Never heard good. That.
Okay,
before.
Good. I don't know. No, I didn't know. Was it on purpose?
I would like to say yes, but no. It really, okay. Honestly, yeah. Wasn't. Well, it took us about a year before someone said, right. I See Rivers. Like, oh my god,
we're so clever.
So, is there anything you'd like to tell the listeners about this track specifically before we play it?
Well, it's. Hope you like it.
That's good enough for me.
And if you don't,
tough.
I don't know.
You're missing out.
You have to come to Wales and knit.
And there's also a video for it.
Yeah.
You can go to YouTube and check it out. It's filmed in Norway, actually, the video, which we haven't done before.
Uh-huh.
And it's two beautiful dancers.
Yeah.
Doing something lovely.
When did you film me? I didn't know you were filming me.
July.
No, I'm joking.
July.
Yeah, two beautiful dancers.
Mm.
And what's going on?
They're dancing.
They're just dancing.
You just have to see it.
Yeah, okay, cool. I should also mention that you are supporting Rosie Plain, who we've had on the show as well, in 5 days' time in Pembrokeshire.
Yay.
Yeah. At the Druidstone.
Druidstone.
Place. Sorry. Yeah, I'm not up on the Norwegian Welsh lingo. But yeah, so if you are lucky enough to live in the beautiful Pembrokeshire where time moves in a different way, then you can go and see them. It's still going to be on the 25th of November, like it is in the rest of the country, though, right?
Yeah.
Time doesn't move that differently.
Most likely.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, listen, it's been so nice to chat to you, and
likewise.
Thank you so much for coming in. And yeah, we're going to play Collide. So
cool.
Here we go. This is Collide by my fabulous guests, I See Rivers.
When we stood by the lake, it was up to me to drink. You stood on the edge, too afraid your mind would sink. The water took my voice. The water took my voice. When we could lie. When we could lie, when we lie. Love, I'm on your side. Love, I'm still on your side. You say repay, I say we talk, and you defend yourself again. Your thoughts are so loud, my words fade in a rush of rain.
Thank you. Radio presents Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
Kabaka Pyramid is our third and final guest of the day.
I just did my favourite thing for the first time on Sunday. I went to the Arsenal Tottenham game.
Yes! Gunnar as well!
Gunnar!
Of course it's Gunnar! I had no doubt!
I saw the red and I was like
Tottenham?
This white guy was sitting on beside us and it's like everybody just excited at the trio with us hugging each other.
That's it. And honestly, I think only two things can get you doing that. Yeah. Music and football.
Exactly. Yeah, it brings people together.
Races,
everything. Yeah,
absolutely. Sure.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville. Every Wednesday from 4 PM. FUBAR Radio.
There we go, that's Martha Gunn and Heaven. I feel like I should be wearing some shoulder pads, real big, powerful 80s sound. If you like the sound of that, I think you can trawl back through the list of shows that we've done on the Listen Again feature and listen to the interview that I did with those guys. It's in there somewhere. We're nearly on our like billionth show or something. That's coming up soon. Bit exciting, won't it? Okay, so it's now time to welcome into the studio. They're sat very quietly and patiently opposite me. It's time to welcome David and Michael. Crystalism!
Hello, what's hello. Good?
How's it going? So, first things first, before we get started, I want to talk about what you know about chrysalises and caterpillars and butterflies. Can we start there?
Chrysalises.
Yeah.
I know nothing.
Right.
Never caught a butterfly.
Right. First of all, this is just a very simple one-word answer. Would you rather, each of you can both answer this, would you rather be butterfly or a caterpillar?
Oh.
Well, probably a caterpillar, because then you get to be both.
Well, yeah. I haven't thought this through at all. But, so, here's what I wanted to tell you about this, right? Because I only found this out recently. But, you know when a caterpillar goes into the cocoon?
Yeah.
And then it comes out as a butterfly. Do you know what happens in between?
No.
It completely dissolves.
And then it, like, sort of...
And then it, like, reforms as a completely different creature. But then they were like, so maybe they're not even technically the same thing.
Right.
Because they, like, dissolved down into chemicals and then, like, built back up.
That's crazy.
But so what they did was they tested, like, using sounds and stuff.
Yeah.
To kind of, like, distress the to distress the caterpillar or whatever. To see then if they did it again as a butterfly, if it would remember that it didn't like that sound. And it did.
Wow.
Which is now that... So now they're thinking, well, is this like kind of when we die or whatever, our cells and our particles, what happens? And do whatever they reform as remember stuff?
Yeah.
That's chrysalism.
Wow.
It's very rare that I get to impress anybody with any knowledge on this show, so I thought I would start.
What a trivia.
There we go. So
it's
there
funny
you, go.
You should mention it, because we were watching Bug's Life the other day. So.
Oh, yeah.
I also would like to ask you about your... Because you both got quite unique looks, right?
Oh, right.
Yeah. And I put myself in this category. I was talking about this earlier on the show. Okay. You saw me when I came in to do the photo before with the girls. I had my rain jacket on purpose, right? Because I've decided that the look that I'm going for is 1980s mobile phone salesman. So
that's good.
That fit very well.
I was wondering if you two would mind christening your looks. What would you say you normally...
Do you want to go first, Michael?
What you want to call what your look is normally.
Well,
even
usually,
if it's not quite the same as today, but...
I'm really into video games.
Right, okay.
So usually I just try to dress as most...
As a plumber.
As the most futuristic video gamey, I guess I can. I like bright clothing.
I think maybe like Pokemon Trainer. You could go with Pokemon Trainer.
A Pokemon Trainer. I like that, okay.
Yeah. I think that's Michael for sure.
And what about you?
I'm kind of in between like a 90s rave dancer and early 2000s like skater boy.
Yeah, okay. Rave skater.
Yeah, rave skater. Let's go
90s rave skater and Pokemon Trainer.
Yeah.
I should have done that with the girls. I forgot, but I'm getting the look of every band on the show today, but I ran out of time with those guys.
It's good to think about.
So I thought I'll start here. So your new single,
yes,
right, is... basically inspired by some happenings that happened in Hong Kong. Now, I've never been to Hong Kong.
Oh.
So, first of all, what was you doing? Was you there on a holiday? Was you living there for a while? Tell me why you was in Hong Kong. And then also tell me about Hong Kong, because I've never been.
No, so I've been to Hong Kong because, well, I loved Hong Kong since I was little, because my dad used to work in Hong Kong.
Okay.
And
so you've been
a
few times, or he went and you never went?
Yeah, I never went, and my mom was like, oh, he's in Hong Kong. And then I was like, wow, it's a magical place.
Yeah, because it sounds it when you're little.
And then, I went there only not even a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
It started this year, March. And I had an argument. I went out and just wrote this song on streets of Hong Kong at like 3 a.m. and that's
so when you say you wrote it on the streets, like actual pen and paper, or is you writing in your phone,
yeah,
or what's going on?
It was a phone. It was
in
a
your phone,
notes.
Right? Because it feels like it, in a romantic kind of way. It feels like you're doing it on a, you're
pen
just walking around in the rain with a notebook after an argument.
And
the paper getting soaked.
The paper soaks, dissolves. Crazy. No, but. Yeah, it's a happy song, I think.
Yeah.
But to me, at least, it means...
Your sound is described as vintage futuristic.
I feel that way, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's accurate. So tell me about how you guys came to work together. What's the... You're both from Prague. So was you friends before you came to the UK, or did you meet over here, or what's the...
Yeah, so I met David when I was 6 years old. We went to primary school together.
Right, okay. So it's a long-standing feud. Yeah.
And then I was not friends with David for some time because he dressed like a Tokyo Hotel. And then
I don't know if you remember Tokyo Hotel because that was like a lot bigger in Europe than it was in the UK or in the US.
What is Tokyo Hotel? I thought you were just giving it a name of a look that I didn't understand.
It was like a German sort of like pop rock, like slightly emo looking band.
Okay.
And yeah.
Black nails, a lot of like...
I'm going to look them up.
Like fringe, you know, sort of...
Kind of
weird German rock band.
It was
sort of aimed at like 13-year-old
girls. I've got a picture, yeah. I can see why you may not want to speak.
No,
it was a phase.
Yeah. We've all had
I also had phases, and then we met again when we were 14, so...
With a shared passion for booze.
Yeah. Well, this is what I was just saying to you off air. I said you must have, before you came to the UK, had a really dim view of British people because it's just all lads coming to Prague for cheap booze on stag do's.
I mean, a little bit.
Myself included. I've been there.
I mean, it's a good place to do that. I mean, personally, I didn't because my dad's actually half English and kind of into a lot of English music, so I was sort of brought up... I actually went to an English school, so for me, like, I always kind of wanted to move here anyway.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I mean, English. I said English school. It was more of an English international speaking, school, right, but like, it was called a British school.
Yeah.
I still don't understand British humor very well, but I watched your stand-up comedy this morning.
Well, that's why.
and I actually loved it. I actually thought it was amazing.
Oh, thanks.
I thought that comedians don't need a Wikipedia page at all because you just stand up for 15 minutes and tell me everything about your life.
Yeah, I mean, some of it's made up, but yeah. My girlfriend isn't made of crisps. But
and you're not you weren't a pizza delivery guy.
Oh, I wasn't a delivery guy, but I did work in Pizza Hut for about 5 years. I feel like you've done way too much research for this show. you've been here, thank you, but you've been here 5 years, roughly, in the UK, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, when you first got to the UK, or it might have been before that, even, but what was your impressions of the UK music scene? Like, what was it that, like, drew you to it, or what did you think it would be like and it's different in reality?
Well, I just think... When you live outside of UK or outside of London or Manchester or Liverpool and you hear all these bands, they don't sound anything like the city actually looks like. Or
you can't
imagine like, oh, I'd be walking down the street and make, you know, a Beatles record.
Yeah,
like,
right.
It doesn't feel to me like anything similar to what the,
so what the sound of the
actually
yeah,
is.
That's interesting.
So I
think that's just because in general, I think... Like, European architecture is amazing, and a lot of the UK looks like absolute shit.
I wouldn't go that far. But,
I mean, that's how I feel about it.
I guess you get less old buildings in London because of, like, the Great Fire and stuff, you know, like, a lot of things disappeared.
We're from Prague, so we are more into the absolute shit, because Prague is too nice. It never got bombed, so...
It got a little bit bombed.
So we have too many pretty buildings around, so we're into the industrial stuff more.
Yeah, fair enough. But yeah, I mean, it's like, last week I was in Berlin, and I was just wandering around in amazement at all the sort of, like, communist architecture. It's so bleak, but in a beautiful way. But I suppose because I'm used to all the bleak stuff here, I just think it's shit, whereas if it's bleak somewhere else, it's romantic.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, right.
I suppose. So, tell us a little bit about the sound, because I do think you've got a very unique sound, which is why I was really interested in getting you on the show.
Well, thank you.
So, tell us about how you came to create it. What sort of music were you sort of into as you started this project, or is there anything that inspired you particularly?
Yeah, so I'm particularly interested in video game music, and I like K-pop a lot, and trashy pop.
Okay.
And somehow I always try to make something really, really corny and cheesy, but it ends up being like something halfway there.
So, yeah, right. So
that's I'm like, my aim is to make a K-pop song, and in the end it ends up like
it's been something quite cool.
Like, oh, I
describe it as cheese with soul.
Cheese with soul.
It's a corny soul.
I like that.
I think that's pretty accurate. Because you're right, and I think you talk about the video games really actually makes a lot of sense because that is like a futuristic but retro thing. So
yeah,
totally,
it's a bit of both.
Yeah. Oh yeah, this is why assistant producer Will gets paid the big money. He's put on the screen cheese with soul, as in the place.
Cheese with soul. That's what Abby wrote.
Yeah. Abby or Will? I'm not sure who to like credit it. For that. Oh, it's Will. Will's switched on. He knows what's going on.
Yeah, we'll put in our bio. It's funny.
So, tell me, what's next for you guys? In terms of, I know that this single out, which I'm going to let you tell us a little bit more about just before we play it shortly. But in general, what's going on? What's the next step for
you
guys?
So, we're releasing another single on the 10th of January. And then we have an EP in February. It's similar to this song.
Mm-hmm.
Good gamey chill vintage future whatever vibes.
Yeah.
And then we are currently looking for a gig. Please book us. Thank you.
Basically booking shows for next year.
We're booking shows for next year.
So yeah. 2020 is our year.
Great.
Yeah, it's on my sweater now. I got it.
2020. Very beautiful.
Very beautiful.
Tell me about what it's like as a live kind of experience, the band.
How do you
guys set up?
I usually act like a total craghead, and then I fall. Last time I fell on my girlfriend by accident, and she fell on the ground.
He always unplugs my bass.
You're very energetic. You're very energetic.
Yeah, I'm just...
You're just flailing around.
Yeah. I'm more of like a butterfly, you could say.
Yeah, okay. Or a caterpillar trying to get out of the cocoon.
Yeah. Definitely getting out of the cocoon.
Around, yeah. And then everyone else tries to like keep their shit together while you don't. So that's how we work on stage.
Well, I'll be very excited to see this in 2020, the beautiful year.
Yeah, the beautiful decade.
The new decade.
New decade.
One final thing that's not really related to anything other than I've been talking about it on the show.
Right.
Is this week I went on a little romantic ice skating date.
Ooh.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And it's split. Out there amongst the producers as to whether I am any good or not. So to look at me, would you say I'm good or bad at ice skating?
I'd say you're phenomenal.
I'd say I don't know.
No,
aren't English people always like really bad at any snow sports?
I wouldn't call it a snow sport going around in a circle.
No, but you might. I think you do well.
I think you've given me too much credit there, David. But yeah, I'm better than I look. Is all I'm going to say.
Yeah, okay.
I'm a tidy little skater. That's what I'd say.
We can shoot a new music video with
you on
ice skates.
Yeah, I'm not that good. Imagine that might be quite good.
Yeah,
a bit wonky.
That actually sounds like an amazing.
If you're too good.
Video.
I'm up for
good.
It. Yeah, and I'm free.
Let's do it.
Let me know how we'll do it.
Okay.
Get your calendar out.
Yeah. All right. 2020 is very... I've got it here. Hang on.
Get the calendar out. The 2020 calendar.
2020 calendar. It's just a blank piece of paper.
Beautiful.
Guys, it's been a lot of fun talking to you.
Thank you
so much for coming in. Before we let you go, though, tell us about your new single, and please also pronounce it correctly for me because I don't want to make a dog's dinner of it. So you pronounce it, then I'm going to copy you after you've said it. But also tell us a little bit about it. I know we've alluded to it a bit that you wrote it in Hong Kong.
So the song is called "I'll Kill You, Tomokazu Miura."
That's the bit I was going to struggle with.
Chrysalism. I can't even pronounce Chrysalism.
That's you. Yeah. So who is Tomokazu Miura?
It's a Japanese actor.
Okay.
So it's based upon my favorite movie in
Japanese.
And my favorite Hong Kongese movie is called Chungking Express, in which the guy runs up the escalators furiously. Because his girlfriend tells him he looks like this Japanese actor, Tomokazu Miura. And he runs up screaming, "I'll kill you, Tomokazu Miura." I thought it'd be a funny name for the song.
Yeah, well, I feel like listening to your music and now talking to you, right? This is exactly how I hoped you guys would be, but somehow I didn't think you would be, but you are. So thank you for not ruining my expectations of you. It's been a really nice chat. And you're making some really cool different music, and I'm excited to see what you do next. And
I'm excited too.
We're excited to see you live in 2020. But thank you so much for coming in.
Excited for your next stand-up.
Thank you. And the ice skating video. I'll Kill You, Tomokazu Miura by Chrysalism. You're listening to the Joey Page Show on FUBAR Radio.
Fields where galaxies apart, I'm laying out stars here for you. I felt nothing at all, but then you took me to April Fools. So you thought it was a joke. Oh. But I've fallen in love with you so fast. Hey,
do you know what? So it's so nice to get an actual band in the studio. Sometimes when you listen to them, you hear their sound and you think, I don't really know how they've made that or what their reference points are. And then from speaking to them, you totally get it. Like the computer game thing and Michael's love for Hong Kong and stuff like that and K-pop. You can really now hear that, which we never would have known that had they not been on the show. So that's just an example of one of the services that I bring to your ears. And all you have to do as a thank you is keep listening and tell some people that have dodgy music tastes so that we can change their music tastes. And then we can share around a bit more of this 1.1 billion amongst the artists that deserve it. Not people like Robbie Williams and Tyson Fury or whatever the hell's going on. Okie dokie, so a couple of little bits of business that we need to deal with now. So I was talking to the guys just now about their looks in the conversation that we had with Chrysalis. And as we said, my look, 1980s mobile phone salesman. So Chrysalism actually had a look at Abby and Will out in the, and Julian on cameras, out in the gallery, and sort of gave them some titles for their looks. So, if you've never seen Will, he's a real feast for the eyes. He's got a real wild kind of hair. Like I feel like Will's hair is very thick, but quite wild, but quite short. And then he's got a beard that's almost nearly the same length as his hair. His hair's a little bit longer. And normally he's wearing quite an outstated shirt, an outspoken kind of shirt. Today he's wearing a granddad collar checked shirt. And what's on the lower half? I've not seen. Is it just jeans? I think it's just jeans. And then Abby, normally got a bit of a sort of flowing vibe to her, some tie-dye normally going on there. But today it's a sort of very nice pastel pink soft little jumper top thing. What's on the bottom half of you? And a denim lilac skirt and a leopard print belt and her classic glasses and her hair and her fringe and her teeth and her face. Julian, he's wearing a cap and I almost want to say like a sort of decorator's jacket. He's swinging around in a chair for me. It's a feature that doesn't really work on radio, but I'm enjoying it. Sort of like a military kind of coloured decorator's jacket and a black t-shirt, a sort of maroony, rusty red cap. He's got a bit of a designer / scruffy stubble, bit thicker beard and moustache, short hair under there, I think. Eyes that don't really give a lot away. And those looks have been graded by criticism, and Abby's look has been called Scooby-Doo / Flintstones chic. Will's look has been given scruffy CBBC presenter. And Julian has been called a European sightseer looking at quirky architecture. They're the looks we've all gone for here at Fubar Radio today. HBU, how about you? Just leave a little gap for you to say what your look is. There we go. So we've all had a bit of fun there. We'll talk to creatures about their looks when they come in. Might do Natalie. She's just popped in as well. Sort of like a futuristic leopard print. She's always in like greeny turquoisey colours and a bit of leopard print. Sort of an emerald leopard. That's what we're going to call Natalie's look. If you want to send one in, then do it by all means. And I'll do it. And if I don't get around to it this week, I could certainly do it next week. Listeners' looks. And this music is perfect for that. All right, I need to talk about something slightly serious now. Maybe I might change the bed for this. Got to talk about something slightly serious. And that is, I haven't really got any music that befits it, so I'll just leave this on. Baxter Jury has got some new music coming out. Now, I need to really tread carefully with this because Baxter Jury is one of my most beloved artists. I'm always very excited about him. I've had this day ring-fenced in the calendar of my mind, which is as serious as it sounds. And I'm let down. It's a letdown for me. The music's good. The title's good. The song's called Slumlord. I've got to be very careful where I tread because I really want him on as a guest. And I feel like I'm going to approach this in the same way that I would if he was sat in front of me in the studio, which hopefully, you know, all these people... Abby, are you one of these people that if you visualise it, it happens? Is that how you feel about stuff? That's how, right? If I visualise it, it'll happen. I'm visualising Baxter Jury across the desk from me, right? A very cool guy. Someone I look up to a little bit stylistically in what he wears. I really like that. Even though I secretly think he's not so, and how could he be? Because his dad is like a global rock and roll superstar, legend. Obviously, he's not like a working class guy because he's got loads of money, but I feel like he comes from good working class stock, which I can identify with. He certainly, what he sings about and what he talks about, that's what's going on. But this song, okay, if he was sat opposite me, I wouldn't say I don't like it. I would ask him why he's made some of the choices that he's made. If he asked me outright if I like it, I would say I'm confused by it. And that's the line that I'm sticking to. And yeah, maybe if it's an artist I didn't particularly like or really admire or want to interview, I might slag it off. You might call me two-faced. I'm not slagging it off, but I'm not saying, I'm saying I don't understand it. okay? I'd love him to come in. I'd love to ask him some questions. Maybe I'd get a bit of background on it. Maybe I'd understand it. Maybe we would get a sound effect that would be me doing a big U-turn or reversing signal, and then I would have to apologise or something. But as it stands, I don't get it. I was looking forward to it. I feel let down. It's Christmas Day. I've opened up the new Baxter Jury song. It's musical Christmas on the show. One of my favourite artists has got a song out. I've opened it up. I don't really want another. I don't really want three white t-shirts. Thank you, Louise. Do you know what I mean? Not that this is boring. I just don't understand it. It's like when someone gets you a gift and they go, you go, oh, this is shit. I don't know what this is. And then they explain it to you and go, that's quite cool. But then they might explain it to you and go, that's quite cool. I've got no use for it. Like when I got an Echo Dot. Never opened it. What am I going to do with it? Okay? Have a listen. Maybe we'll discuss this further afterwards. But what I'm talking about is, why is he... He's got a great original voice. Why is he singing slash talking? You've not heard this yet, have you, Abby? Why is he singing slash talking like Neil from The Young Ones? That's what I'm asking. Okay? That's what's let me down. Here we go. This is Slumlord, Baxter Jury. You're listening to Joey Page, Fubar Radio. Coming up soon, Creatures. Plus, we've got Nice Slice of Psych and David Bowie of the Week, all still to come on the show. See, good start, yeah? Classic Jury. But you wait.
Fresh honey, I'm the Milky Bar kid. Soiled trousers, shiny cheekbones like graveyards in the sun. Murder shoes, dirty eyes sizing up. Say, just don't say it. Sleepless angels have blessed us, and I'll shout you down in a slumlord way. Scary people saying silly shit. Shake it down.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's fan club.
We are joined in the studio now by professional comedian Brett Goldstein. How are you doing, Brett?
I'm very grateful to be here with you two.
If you could dig someone up and fuck them.
Gene Kelly.
Gene Kelly and Cary Grant, right?
Not Cary, he's not my type. If I could dig up Gene Kelly, I'd say, could we do a dance?
I've got the shovel in my boot.
In this scenario, is he still dead when you dig him up, or does he come out?
Does he come to life? Is he a rotten corpse, or is he...
That's fan club!
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's fan club. Every Friday, from 12 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
That's my old mate, Nick Helm. He's on here as well. After me today as well, you've got Michael and Marcel doing their thing. That's coming up at 4 o'clock. I should know what time it's on by now. It's when I finish work. So, that was the Baxter Jury record, Slumlord. I feel like it's only a Stop It Vivian away from... I just don't understand what's wrong with his normal voice. That's all I'm saying. Someone please explain that to me. If it had been his normal voice, I probably would have loved that. But now I'm just confused and hurt. And maybe he'll come on the show and talk to us about it. Or maybe he won't. So, now it's time to welcome a band I'm really looking forward to interviewing. And no least am I looking forward to asking them what they would name their looks as, because they've all got very striking looks. It's time to welcome Creatures into the studio. Hi, guys. How's it going?
Hello.
Josh, hey, Bobby, up. And William. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Good.
Not bad.
So, yeah, I am going to start there, actually. On the show today, and you've not really had a sort of full glimpse of it, but I've got this big,
cool.
You know,
looks
detective's
nice.
Jacket,
trench,
right?
Trench
and
style.
I've been sort of wearing it coupled with a baseball cap and with my tash as well. I said that I felt like I looked like a 1980s mobile phone salesman today, right?
Join the band.
So that's I'd love to, but I'd be useless. But so and we've named everybody's looks today. So I might just go through you guys and get you to name what your look is. So William, we'll start with you.
I don't know what I'm going for today.
Should we name each other?
A Hawaiian.
That'd be more exciting. Well,
go on, you name me. So we've got Bobby over here. It's Billy Ray Cyrus, obviously.
I'd say you look like...
Double denim. So let's... double denim and a crisp cream... Not crispy cream, but a crisp cream roll neck.
A crispy cream, yeah.
Adorable.
Matching his hair colour.
I think you look like George Harrison with a perm.
Do you know what?
What?
That would be great.
Yeah, in 1970 sort of three, double denim... Rocking
there we go. Yeah, let's go with that.
That'll do.
Josh, what are you saying?
Kids.
Take me on.
Kids TV presenter.
Circa.
This is kind of slightly new, actually, I must say.
It's a very...
Paris.
It's quite a nice... Got an autumnal orange stripe. It's a blue jumper with orange and white stripes. And matching on the sleeves as well. Mm. But yeah, I'd go for a sort of psychedelic Kids TV presenter.
Yeah, I like that.
I'm into that. I'll take that.
Yeah.
And I guess, what am I? Pablo Escobar?
Yeah, Pablo Escobar-esque, isn't it?
Yeah. I just need the slick back hair, which I do sometimes, but...
A bit more rugged today.
Yes.
Funky shirt, sure.
Yeah. So welcome to the show.
Nice to be here.
I want to have a chat with you about your EP and stuff like that, and just say, first of all, congratulations on the music you make. I really, really like it. I've been admiring your sound for a little while now, I'm really happy that you could come on the show.
Cheers.
So tell us about how you guys all know each other. How did the band start? That sort of thing. Give us a little potted history on Creatures.
Well, myself and Josh, who's here, we actually grew up together and went to school together.
So where is
this? This is Ketrin. In Ketrin.
Ketrin, okay, yeah.
So we've played in bands together since we were about sort of 15, really.
And you've gigged with Temples as well, who are from Ketrin.
Good friends.
I played in bands.
Oh, cool,
them.
Yeah. So I'm friends with Adam. So
Shout out.
Me and him went suit shopping a couple of Mondays ago and didn't buy anything. Just got drunk instead.
Sounds good.
So yeah, you're from Ketrin, the home of Weetabix.
Well, I'm not from Ketrin.
Right, okay.
I just went to school there.
Okay.
And that's how I met.
Well, Will and Chris from the band also. They're from Ketrin.
Right.
So
okay.
Chris kind of joined us later on, but we've always known him.
Yeah, everyone's a Ketrinite, bar me. I'm an outsider.
Where are you from, Bobby?
A couple of junctions down.
Where's that?
Nearer Luton.
Oh, nearer Luton. Yeah, you can hear it in the voice.
Outsider.
Well, we met Bobby here in London because I saw him playing in a. I saw him play for two bands in the space of one day, I think it might have been. And I was like, he needs to be in the band.
He's
in
the heartbeat of the band. Yeah. So of many bands.
So he's the only member that we didn't know when we all moved to London.
Yeah. And have you found it tough to infiltrate the gang? Do you feel like you get picked up a bit by them? Or not?
No, not at all. It's been great.
He's the leader, I would say.
Is he? Okay.
He's, yeah, the director.
It's that Billy Ray vibe coming back.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm Miley.
and so the EP is a big EP. There's a lot of tracks on it for an EP, or in the modern day, an EP. Like most people go, oh, it's three singles, we'll call it an EP. So... tell us why you decided to have so many songs on it. It's kind of almost like a mini album, isn't it?
It was an odd one, really, because we didn't really plan to do that. We were kind of trying to write and these similar vibe songs crushed together, and we just chucked it on an EP.
Yeah, right.
Originally, but it was going to be like three songs and three instrumentals.
Yeah, right. Because the first track is an instrumental.
Yeah. So that's the only one, isn't it?
Texas Hunt. That's the EP, right. By the way, we should say is called Runt of the Glitter.
Yeah.
So who came up with that?
Actually, the other Will. Was it?
I thought it was you.
No, it was the other Will.
Okay.
Other Will. His idea, but it sounds great. I like that. I liked it. Well, I think we all did.
It was going to be something very different and a bit more somber and dark. And then when that came out, the artwork changed. It was all glittery. It was all sparkly. Right. We went with a bit of a pink vibe.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice.
But the EP came about because we'd, since the beginning of the band, we hadn't really had any time to do any recording or actually sort of home, you know.
I'd say it's probably Temple's fault, actually.
Well, yeah, you know, get our sound great. So we did do a couple of sort of 7 inches. We did two, and with just one track on each of them. And then when we got to the point where we wanted to put more music out, we kind of just, you know, put our heads together and got recording and...
Very fortunate to get that tour that you were saying about the Temples, but we always felt we were slightly on the back foot because we jumped into...
We were like, constantly touring,
playing, gigging. We were gigging for 2 years straight, and then we're like, never had time to record. But now we're kind of...
Well, yeah, we got that record together just so that we could put it out. There was never any intent of shopping it to labels. We just thought we need some content that people can listen to that isn't one single.
Yeah.
So it's actually quite... shocking how many songs there are in this band. I'd say at one time there's 40 songs just waiting to be recorded. And
amazing.
So it's just like,
there's no time.
Let's go with a bit of a theme. It's kind of a bit Western.
Yeah.
We had a lot
really
of fun
is.
With it. We sort of recorded it in various places, like in each of our flats at times. Mixed it, got it mastered, put it out.
Great. That was it. And it is really good, and I really like it. I would say probably, not that there's... Not you should have favourites, because they're all good, but I love Silver Club.
Okay,
it's one of
cool.
my favourites.
Nice.
It's really
good
brilliant.
Fun live, though.
That one's really fun and fast, yeah.
Yeah. So, you basically have spent 2 years gigging and touring. You gig with Los Bichos as well, we've had on the show.
Yeah.
And so, how did these 40 songs come about? Do you also practice a hell of a lot to get that many songs, or how?
Well, I guess
they're not just coming out mid gig.
No.
So
I wouldn't say that there's 40 complete songs with all the parts.
There are different levels.
It's definitely like, you know, there's.
And how do you work as a band? Do you all do it together, or is there like one person coming with an idea, or
sometimes like
it's a mixed bag, really?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Sometimes someone will come with a complete song. Sometimes it will just be a chorus part, and it really does vary. It's totally different every time. You know, we'll all work together and it will just happen. Or we'll be rehearsing and someone will be playing a riff or, a rhythm, and it just comes about, you know.
Sweet.
It's different
standard.
Every time,
really. Yeah. And you're gearing up for an album.
Indeed. Well, I'd say we're well into it at the moment.
I'm actually in the studio this weekend, which we're looking forward to, in Newcastle.
Okay, and is the how many times have you been in the studio for this album? Is it the first time, or have you already done some stuff, or where?
We've gone about it slightly different this time. So we've actually booked in various studios between, what was it, early last month till probably March next year.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so there's at least one or two a month, and we... go around the country using different studios, either doing the drums or the bass or overdubs, vocals, and so it allows us like 3 weeks off to get the next 6 songs to a certain standard.
We just want to do it right this time, don't we? Kind of actually take a bit of time and actually
allow some time for reflection, and this is probably the funnest process that we've ever been involved in. because you can do that, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we've sort of said to our booking agent, against her better judgment, don't book any gigs for the foreseeable future, because we're going to come and get some stuff ready.
You want to get that sorted?
Well, I think we, because since the beginning of the band, all we've done is tour and play live, which we've really got that down now and good. We're good energy on stage. We really work well together, and we've done a bit of recording, like I say, here and there at home. But this time, we wanted to solely focus on
getting it as good as you can.
Yeah.
And we want to like nailing, you know, it.
Because when people see you live, they love it. But when you know, getting people into your record is a difficult thing. I think it's harder to capture the band.
Yeah, I think that is a real fine art to get your album to sound like you are live. And capture
like
the kind of
we've kind of slowly found our sound as well, like a mixture of all the songs in the past that mushed into a, I don't know.
I could be wrong, but I feel like we are forever changing.
Yeah.
It's
a bit more.
The Western EP came about because we love soundtrack music, you know.
Yeah,
and there was a lot of riffs coming out at the time that were very kind of spaghetti Western, but some of the tracks that we're doing now are big pop songs, aren't they?
Yeah. You know, sort of disco tracks.
It does kind of change up quite regularly, so I'm sort of hoping people haven't put us in one place and thought, I'm hoping, you know, I'd say Spaghetti Western's coming back, you know.
I think we've changed an awful lot since the last things that we've put out, since Rent
and Glitter. But you're bound to as a sort of like emerging
It's gone kind
beast.
Of darker and
darker. There's loads of stuff there, but it's still, you know, it's your voice. It's still got the same kind of big vocals on, and you'd recognise it.
Yeah. And I'm going to... I mean, I don't even know if I have to ask your permission for this, but I just assumed I'm going to do it. Texas Hunt, I always like to... You've got your cans on.
Yeah.
Well, so you can hear... I'm playing some music under us chatting now.
Yeah, I can hear some.
And I always like to have a bit of music under chatting to my guests.
Okay.
I'm going to use that.
Okay,
I love
cool.
it. Is that all right?
Yeah, when absolutely.
I'm chatting to people. I mean, I haven't asked anybody else's music that I use on it.
That's cool, yeah.
But yeah, I just think... I was like, yeah, I'd love to have this on...
Yeah, go for it.
Do you want to do some kind of like, you know, movie... voiceover.
I don't know about that.
Are you big into films?
Yeah, of course.
Because, right, I'm just going to ask the guys in the gallery. Do you think that William looks a bit like Nick Elm? And if you like films, and he does a film show on it, should get you one of his doppelganger.
Okay, we'll do that. I'll come in again and we can...
Yeah, there we go. A different show. So, how do you feel like the future looks for you in terms of you've got these dates in up until, did you say March for recording?
Yeah
there were thereabouts.
So when in an ideal world, when would you like the album to be out? I know obviously as soon as possible, but do you think it'll be like a summer thing?
Well,
do you think it might be this time next year?
What we'll probably do is like reassess at the end of the year, maybe get 5, 6, 7 songs together by December that have got everything on them, and then see what we've got, start sending it out to some people. And then hopefully by like time March is done, everything will be done, and therefore it can
come out.
Well,
move on.
Start again. Do another one.
Yeah.
Keep it real.
Well, I have to say though, we're really, really excited about this one because we're putting a lot of energy and we're so much more happy with the process. And
well, it's nice. This is the first time we've worked with a producer engineer combo, and they are.
So for the lay person, which is me, what's the merits of having one over the other? Do you normally only have one or the other?
Well,
you always get an engineer, don't you? If you book a studio, they sort of come and they
come with
move all the knobs.
Yeah,
don't. and then with the producer, they get involved, and so they're helping us.
So they're saying like, try this, do that.
And it's because we know them both very well. We've sort of said, like, why don't we just get the songs to a certain level and then let them come in and help rejig stuff. Like, they even write chords and try and change melodies if they need to. But with the brief of just make them, like, pop-tastic, he'll come in and go, of course it's got to come in sooner, lads, you know.
Yeah, okay.
Just get rid of that bit. And we just chat about it.
And is it quite nice, do you guys feel it's quite nice to have an outside eye doing that?
I think it's so important.
Right,
you know, because we've just done it as a band before. We've recorded it ourselves. We've been moving the mics ourselves.
Yeah.
And it's hard to... I think it's really good that we're working with other people.
And I think it's good. It focuses you on your... you know, what you're built for, which is the songs, making the songs, you know,
well, it's
sound
good. And you know, as strange, as silly as this sounds, it's good to have other people that, like, go, that's bloody brilliant, that's so good. You know, they believe in it and they like it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
hype men.
As well as, like, yeah. As well as giving us ideas for other parts and whatnot, you know, it's good.
Yeah. I think that's... makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, I genuinely really love the EP, so I'd be so excited to get a listen on an album. So just the sooner the better from, you know, fans' perspective. So, but tell us a little bit about, because soon it's time for you guys to leave me and go. I don't. Where are you going off this pub? What's going on?
No, I'm going back to work. Actually,
we actually have to get some speakers for
we've got to pick some speakers up for this
cheeky bugger told us to go and get some down the road.
They're off the back of a van.
He's got us doing jobs for him, so
just make sure that reflects in his pay at the end. Take that bit of handyman work off.
Pretty good and small.
Yeah, we'll put an invoice in.
Yeah do it. But yeah, before I let you go to your errands and back to work,
unfortunately,
we are gonna obviously play something by you guys. We play Time Divide. So do you want to tell us a little bit about that track specifically?
Well, this song actually used to be more of a Strokes sort of upbeat, fast sort of sounding song.
Right, okay.
It just
wasn't
it,
it wasn't really working. It was a lot faster, but we needed songs for this EP. We had songs that we kind of wanted to finish so we could move on and do the next thing.
Yeah right.
And one day Will, the other chap in the band, he said, let's try it like this, and we just tried it slower and more waltz, like the version that we have now, and it just
it couldn't be
ended
any more
up being
different.
Really, really cool.
Yeah, sweet.
More Chris Isaak sounding. We wanted that sort of vibe on it, guitars and, yeah.
Oh, sweet. Mm. Nice. Oh, two quick things before I play it. Number one, I don't know if this is you, William, or the other William, because I've not seen it. I've just been told about it by my production staff. Tell me about meeting Andre 3000. Was that you or was that the other?
That was me.
That was you. So, so how did that come about?
Well, I worked in the shop where the photo's taken. I worked in that shop. And he...
Is that in Brighton?
No, this is in London. But he actually had the security with him and they came over and said, can he have a photo with you? And I was like, what? And it's because I had that T-shirt. I don't know if you've seen the photo.
I've not seen it yet. No, they just put it on my screen.
It just says, I'm on drugs. And he was like, that's a brilliant T-shirt. And he just wanted to have a photo of me. And it was just like, okay, cool. I actually didn't know who it was at first.
Yeah, right. Because I was going to say, it's quite a niche person to pick out. I recognise that guy.
Apparently, he was filming, or I think possibly filming some... Did he do a Jimi Hendrix movie?
Yeah, he did.
He was doing something about like that, or maybe performing that weekend at a festival. But but he had all these chaps in the shop as well, and then we had the photo, and it was kind of cool.
Oh, sweet.
But we're not friends. That's the only time I've met him.
Okay. No, but still, it's quite nice to know where these things come from. And finally, Bobby, is that your real surname? Bobby Voltaire.
It might be.
Okay, that's all I wanted to know. Okay, good. Okay, well, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank
it's been a real pleasure to meet you. I'm a real fan of your work, so
thank you.
Over the moon you could come in. And we're going to play Time Divides from the EP. Is there anything else that you want me to tell people? Because there's no bio or anything. The EP is out. It's Runt of the Glitter. Can people get physical copies of that?
They can get a CD of it, yes.
Yeah, CD of it. All right, cool. And, this is Time Divides by Creatures. Thanks a lot, chaps.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
What we went through.
There we go. That is Time Divides by the Fabulous Creatures. Not as in they're just called creatures, but I'm saying they are fabulous. And their EP, Runs of the Glitter, is out now. And Texas Hunt will be featuring on the show as a bed sometime in the very near future. But yeah, I really like those guys and I was thrilled they could be on the show. And as I would sometimes say on the show, mwah, 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 that is lovely old stuff. So, time to squeeze in, I think, a little bit of... We're going to do a nice slice of Psych and then David Bowie Record of the Week. And then it's goodbye from me and also from me. So, let's do this.
Good morning. What would you like to order?
A Welsh rabbit with a poached egg on top, please. Not too runny. Scones, butter, cream, jam. What else?
A nice slice of Psych. It's a nice slice of Psych here on Fubar Radio, on the Joey Page Show. And this week is something linked to where I was last week when I was in Berlin. You know, sometimes when you get on an early flight and you think, I'll just put something on in the background so it'll help me sleep. Well, I just put this little EP on and I had it on repeat, and because it was only an EP, I probably heard all of the songs on it about 8 or 9 times during the flight, but most of the time I was asleep, and it burrowed into my brain, and now I can't get it out of my brain. It's not a newie, it's not an artist you've not heard of before, it's somebody who features on the Nice Slice of Psych quite often here on the show. It is, of course, I'm talking about the fantastic Moon Duo. Sometimes there's 3 of them, but they are Moon Duo always, and this is from the EP that came out a couple of 3 or 4 years ago, I don't know, called Killing Time, and this song is called Speed, and it's really quite sort of haunting and industrial, and I really, really like it, and it's been in my brain, and I was wandering around, after I woke up, of course, in Berlin, I was wandering around the streets just listening to this, and the stark backdrop of some of the buildings, it really fitted in, and I can't get it out of my head now. So this is Speed by Moon Duo. It's your nice slice of Psych for Wednesday, the 20th of November 2019 at 15:47 p.m.
Yeah.
There we go. I tell you what. What a ingenious use of mouth organ. That's what I'm going to say about that. That is Speed by Moon Duo from the EP Killing Time. That is your nice slice of psych for today. I hope you enjoyed that. A very intense piece of industrial sounding psych music, and I loved it. So we are now hurtling towards the end of the show. I'm gonna start possibly almost as early as next week, but I've got to do the maths. Let's start revealing what my albums of the year are gonna be soon. So if you think there's one that should be in contention that I might not have heard, why don't you give me a shout? My Instagram is Joey Page Comedy, or I'm on Twitter at the Joey Page, or you can get in touch with me via the FUBAR handles as well. But if there's an album that you think I've not given any attention to and should be in the contention for album of the year in my books, then why don't you give me a shout? It's like a democracy, but except I almost certainly won't listen to. Okay, but yes, I'm going to start announcing what I think they are as soon as I can work out my list, which is not going to be an easy thing to do when you are so deeply fanatic about certain types of music. So that's the end of the show today. I hope that you've enjoyed it. Thank you to all my guests. Thank you to IC Rivers, to Chrysalism, to Creatures. Thank you to the Scooby-Doo Flintstone chic of Abby behind the glass and the scruffy CBBC presenter Will behind the glass and European sightseer looking at quirky architecture Julian on the cameras. That's been the Joey Page Show. I'll see you next week. I'm going to leave you, of course, with some David Bowie of the week, and I would like to dedicate this song to Terry O'Neill, the legendary photographer who David Bowie cited as a muse, who passed away sadly this week. And this is Absolute Beginners. Thank you for listening to the show. This is your David Bowie record of the week. I'll see you next week. Bye.
Absolutely.